Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are studying now in the book of Joshua. And in our study, we are beginning to see what's taking place with the people of Israel as Joshua has led them into the promised land. Our study today is going to be Lesson 6, chapters 18 through 21. So, before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for making it possible that your word has been written down for us to study, that we may know you more, Father, that we may see what a great and mighty God that you are, that you have all power, that you know all, that you are superior over all, that you are sovereign over all. And Father, we want to know you more. We want to know you, Father, that you may use us to spread your word, to tell others how great you are. And we ask you now to lead us through your Holy Spirit and teach us your word, Father, that we may praise you and give you honor and glory, and that you may use us, Father, to do your will and to please you in all things. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Looking now at our study, we kind of always go back and get a review of what we have studied in the past, because if you don't know the context, sometimes it's hard to follow the scripture. So looking back at Joshua, chapter 1 through chapter 5, what did we learn? We learned that Joshua and Israel's preparation took place as they crossed the Jordan. And then in chapter 6 through chapter 12, we learned that Joshua led the battles to conquer the land. And in chapters 13 through 17, Joshua appointed the land as inheritance to the tribes of Israel. So now, today we are looking at chapters 18 through 21. So we want to look at these chapters and see what is taking place among the people now. So, and how does it compare with the last chapters that we studied? Joshua 18 and 19 are part of the segment about appropriating the tribe's inheritance. And then chapters 20 and 21 are about the cities for the priest, the Levites, and refuge. So this is about appointing the priests and Levites' inheritance. And these chapters are also part of the last segment. So let's look now first at chapter 18. And we won't be reading all the scriptures, because most you'll see, as you have already read, there's a lot about the boundaries. And so it's not necessary, if you have read these, to go back and read them, because we have too many chapters to cover all the reading. But I'm going to read some of them to get us in context. So starting chapter 18, verse 1 through 7. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh, and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. There remained among the sons of Levi 7 tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves 3 men from each tribe, that I may send them, and they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance, and then they shall return to me. They shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. You shall describe the land in 7 divisions and bring the description here to me, and I will cast lots for you before the Lord your God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave them." So let's look at these 7 verses and see what they're speaking about. In verse 1, Israel set up their tent of meeting, the tabernacle, at Shiloh, and the land was subdued. So there's some cross-reference, and I won't read these, but I'll describe them as we look at it to give us a context about the significance of Shiloh. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, we read that this is the part of the blessing for Judah by his father Israel, Jacob. Judah is the ruling tribe of Israel. So Shiloh is mentioned for the first time here. And we see that the footnotes gives other possible translation, until he comes to Shiloh, or until he comes to whom it belongs. And then the ESV translation says, until tribute comes to him. But going on further now, Deuteronomy 12, verses 10 through 14. Moses told Israel about after they were in their land, and God gave them rest, and God would choose a place for his name to dwell. So the first place, the tabernacle, was set up in the land was at Shiloh. Now verses 2 through 10, and I haven't read all of these verses, but I'm going to go ahead and explain these verses. There's 7 remaining tribes that have not divided their inheritance. And these tribes was Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben had already done that, these tribes. But Joshua asked, how long would the remaining tribes are going to put off taking possession of their land? So he told them to send 3 men from each tribe to see the land and to write a description for 7 divisions. And also, he said he would cast lots for them at Shiloh. So let's look now at verse 8 through 10 and see what is taking place. Then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, "Go and walk through the land and describe it and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in seven divisions in a book. And then they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. Now, notice the expression used here in verse 10. He said he cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord and divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. Now, as we read through this, you'll note that that expression is used in all of the dividing of the land. It is according to their divisions. Now, verse 11 says, now the lot of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot lay between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph. So, looking now, and we're not reading verse 12 through 19 or through 20, because it gives the borders of this territory. But what we see in these verses is that they describe the inheritance given to Benjamin. And so his land was north of Judah and south of Ephraim. So that's what we see in verses 11 through 20. So looking at verse 21, it tells us, now the cities of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Beth Hogla, and Emek-Kizik. So these were the lands or the cities that were given to Benjamin for his inheritance. Now, let's go on to chapter 19. So what is the theme? Of course, we see the theme of that chapter would be Benjamin's inheritance. Now we go into Joshua 19. So what we see, or what have you already studied, is the theme of this chapter. The inheritances of Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. So this is what we're seeing in this chapter. Now, I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 19. Then the second lot fell to Simeon, to the tribe of the sons of Simeon, according to their families. Now we see that expression, or that translation here. It says, according to their families. And their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Judah. So here we see that Simeon had land in the midst of Judah's inheritance. Now, I'm going to skip from verse 2 through 9 because it describes all of this that was inheritance of that tribe of Simeon according to their families. And so we see in verse 9, it says the inheritance of the sons of Simeon was taken from the portion of the sons of Judah, for the share of the sons of Judah was too large for them. So the sons of Simeon received an inheritance in the midst of Judah's inheritance. Now, looking at verse 10 through 16, and I'll read those verses. Now, the third lot came up for the sons of Zebulun according to their families. And look at that again, that phrase, according to their families. And the territory of their inheritance was as far as Sered. And then their border went up to the west. And it goes on to express where the borders went. And again, I'm skipping of these borders because there's too much reading involved. And it's not necessary for our study to read all of these borders. So now go down to verse 23. And then we see again that it tells us that, look at verse 17. It says, the fourth lot went to Issachar. And we've been reading these different tribes that these lots go to. And the sons of Issachar, and again we see that phrase, according to their families. So we know that each one received the lot or the territories that they got according to their families. And then looking at verse 23, it says this was the inheritance of the tribe of Issachar according to their families, the cities with their villages. Now, looking at the fifth lot, we see that it fell to the tribe of the sons of Asher according to the size of their families. So, verse 25 and verse 30 gives us a description, and we're not reading those descriptions because there's too much involved, because it just gives all the borders that was involved. And then going to verse 31, it says, this was the inheritance of the tribe of Asher according to their families, these cities and their villages. Now, we're looking next at the sixth lot in verse 32, and we see again that the sixth lot fell to the sons of Naphtali, to the sons according to their families. Okay, now then, we're looking at, we're skipping again the description of the borders, verse 33 through 38, and look at verse 39. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali according to their families, the cities of their villages. And then we see the seventh lot fell to the tribe of Dan according to their families. And it gives a description here of the borders. And we're skipping verse 41 through 47. And look then at verse 48. And this was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Dan according to their families, and these cities with their villages. So it tells us in verse 49 of 50 and 51 that they finished apportioning the land for inheritance by its borders. The sons of Israel gave an inheritance in the midst to Joshua, the son of Nun. So we see here that Dan was the last tribe given the inheritance. So next, in verses 49 through 50, we see that Joshua was given a portion. It tells us, in according with the command of the Lord, they gave Joshua the city for which he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. So he built the city and settled it. So in verse 51, it tells us, these are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the meeting tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. Now, we're going on to chapter 20. And looking at chapter 20, again, we're seeing a lot of description that I may bypass so we'll get in the next two chapters. But what did you see as you read this chapter, chapter 20 of Joshua? Was the theme of this chapter? What did it talk about more than anything else? It was a six cities of refuge. These were cities that were set aside for a refuge. And we're going to see as we read what kind of refuge. Let's read 1 through 6. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 20. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, designate the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally without premeditation may flee there, and they shall become your refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and state his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city to them and give him a place so he may dwell among them. Now, if the avenger of blood pursues him, then they shall not deliver the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor without premeditation and did not hate him beforehand. He shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, until the death of one of the high priests in those days. Then the manslayer shall return to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. So what are these verses about? The Lord spoke to Joshua after the land was divided, and he told him to designate the cities of refuge that Moses had spoke about. And now these cities of refuge were for a person who unintentionally killed another person. He could flee to a city for refuge from the avenger of blood. Now, who would be the avenger of blood? The blood avenger was the one who avenged the death of a blood relative. So it was a place that they could go for refuge. So the manslaughter, we see, had to stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. And then he was free to return home, and the blood avenger could not kill him. Now, there's cross references on this, Deuteronomy 19, 1 through 13. And in those verses it says, if a person guilty of murder fled to a city of refuge, the city elders gave him to the blood avenger to kill. That would purge innocent blood from the land. So if somebody was guilty, not somebody, as we just read, that killed someone that was not intention. And then in Numbers, it tells us on Numbers 35, verse 9 through 34, that the congregation of the city would decide if the manslayer was guilty of murder or unintentional manslaughter. And if they judged him guilty, then he was handed over to the blood avenger to be put to death. And if he wasn't guilty of murder, then he had to stay in the city of refuge till the death of the high priest. So let's go forward now and read verses 7 through 9 to see where these cities were. Verse 7 of chapter 20. So they set apart Kedesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. And they designated Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. And these were appointed cities for all the sons of Israel, for the stranger who sojourns among them, that whoever kills any person unintentionally may flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger until he stands before the congregation. So these verses then just tell us that that particular space was set aside so that they could flee there, and where they could stay if they were not guilty. So that completes now chapter 20. So let's go on to chapter 21 so that we can see what takes place in the rest of our study today. Here we see the theme, if you marked your key words, that the theme of this chapter would be 48 cities, inheritance of the Levites and the priest. So we're going to read a part of these verses again, but not all of them, but we'll try to get the big picture as we read, starting with verse 1 through 5. Then the heads of the households of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of household of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in, with their pasture lands for our cattle. So the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with their pasture lands, according to the command of the Lord. Then the lot came out of the families of the Kohathites, and the sons of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, and from the tribe of the Simeonites, and from the tribe of Benjamin. I think I'm going to go ahead and read through skipping down and read verses 8, here we see in verse 8, the sons of Israel gave by lot to the Levites these cities with their pasture lands, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. So here we're seeing that although the Levites were given no specific land for inheritance, that they were given certain cities to live in. If you mark your key word, you see the word cities is used and not land here, because they, the Levites and the priests, were not given land because they were of the Lord, and they were just given cities to live in. And looking at verses 9 through 40, we see who, what, and where these verses are about. Now, in verses 9 through 19, we see first lots that are given to Aaron. It says, now the sons of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, this is verse 8, these cities. And then verse 9 says, they gave these cities, were here mentioned by name, from the tribe of the sons of Judah and the tribe of the sons of Simeon. And they were for the sons of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites of the sons of Levi, for the lot of theirs first. So the sons of Aaron then were given their lot first. And the priests were given 13 cities. As you look at some of the next scriptures, I'm skipping through verses 11, 12, and I'm going down to verse 13. It says, so to the sons of Aaron the priest they gave Hebron, the city of refuge, for the manslayer with its pasture lands, and Libnah with its pasture lands. Now skip down from 14 through 19, because that just describes all the land that and the cities that were given to Aaron here. And then we see in verse 20 through 26 that the rest of the Kohathites were given 10 cities. Look at verse 20. Then the cities from the tribe of Ephraim were allotted to the families of the sons of Kohath, the Levites, even to the rest of the sons of Kohath. In the hill country of Ephraim and Gezer with its pasture lands. So here the Kohathites received 10 cities from Ephraim, Dan, and half of Manasseh, and the half of the west of the Jordan River. That's described in verses 21 through 25. And we're going to skip because we're seeing these cities and pastures are described in these verses. But if you look at verse 27, it tells us here, let me read verse 27. To the sons of Gershon, one of the families of the Levites, from the half tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan in Bashan, the city of refuge, for the manslaughter with its pasture lands, and Bishetra, I'm not pronouncing right, with its pasture lands and two cities. So all the way down then through verse 34 is a description of the half of Manasseh on the east of the Jordan. Issachar, Asher, and Naphtali, they gave 13 cities to the Gershonites. And then verses 34 through 40, it tells us in verse 34 through 40 that these lands were given to Zebulun, Reuben, Gad. These are the ones that gave the cities was Zebulun, Reuben, and Gad. And they gave 12 cities to the Merarites. And then looking at verses 41 through 45, how do we see that the chapter ends? It tells us that, reading verse 41, all the cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the sons of Israel were 48 cities with their pastors. So that's what we saw was the title of this entire chapter, this chapter 21, that the Levites were given 48 cities with their pasture land. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and no one of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their land hand, and no one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. So, looking then at the ending of this chapter, we see that in the previous studies that the lesson was about the responsibility here of the Levites and the priests. So they were to teach the law. That's what their purpose were. They were to teach the law of the Lord to the people. And if they were scattered throughout the land, then all everywhere would be taught the word and the commands of the Lord about who he is and what he has done for the people of Israel. And in verses 43 through 45, we see that all the Lord promised to Israel came to pass, that nothing failed at what he said that he was going to do. He gave the rest of them on every side after they had conquered the land of promise. And as we have studied through these chapters, we see that God had always promised them that if they would be obedient to him, that he would win the battles for them, that he would fight their battles, and that they were just to be strong and courageous. So the last cross-reference that you had to look at that pertained to what the Lord has done in the past and what he's doing and what he is going to do is in a cross-reference of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. So here, the Ephesians, these New Testament believers, Paul tells them that they are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, a pledge or down payment of their inheritance. So we know that we have an inheritance, all believers today, and we have the promise of the Lord because he seals us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our pledge of the inheritance that God has in store for us as believers after this life. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we see here in these verses that God has given believers everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's an inheritance that we received only because that Jesus died for us, that he went to the cross, that he died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected the third day, and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So this is how that we escape the enemy and the corruption that's taking place in our world today. Excuse me. And this all comes by our obedience to what the word of the Lord has said. So how then are we going to apply what we have read? How are we going to be obedient to God's word, to what he has written down for us to follow? We have to be obedient by praying, by reading his word, and by living it out in our lives. To be a witness, we have to live it out in our lives. To be able to reach others, to be a testimony. So let us close our discussion today in prayer and pray for one another. Pray for me that we all will be obedient to God's word, because we have a great inheritance that only Jesus could give. Only he could bring that inheritance that we could become. He could become our kinsman redeemer. He is the one that has redeemed us. So let us pray. Father, how thankful we are to know that everything is already laid out. Everything is already planned out. Because, Father, when you went away, it was written down in the book of John, in the 14th chapter, as you began to depart, to go back to heaven, you gave the promise that you said, don't be afraid, don't worry about these things, because you have an inheritance. Father, we know that you have gone away to prepare a place for us. You have already marked out our inheritance for us by your death, burial, and resurrection. And I pray, Father, that each of us will live out our lives to be a light, to be an example. That, Father, that we will have that inheritance, and we can tell others, we can share it with others, to know, Father, that when you died, you made it possible for each and every one to have an inheritance with you, to have eternal life. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise, Father. Thank you, Father, for such love that cannot be comprehended. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you for your constant study. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for each pupil that continues to study the Word. So next week, we will continue, and we will be finishing up our study in Joshua in the seventh lesson, which will be the last verses in the book of Joshua. So stay in there, stay faithful to the word, and may God bless you all.